Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Tuesday, February the 27th, and we are on day 12 of our Lenten 40-day prayer and fasting journey. Growing up, Folgers had a commercial. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Some of you remember that, but I believe the best part of waking up is waking up. However you woke up this morning, go ahead and celebrate the fact that God protected you from danger seen and unseen and woke you up this morning with a reasonable portion of health and strength. The ancestors put it this way: the bed we slept in was not our cooling board, the sheets not our winding covers, and the four corners of our room, it wasn't the four corners of a grave. Today, church, is a good day because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's pause to think about that. I say that a whole lot in the mornings. This is the day that the Lord has made. Think about that. God created this day. The day you are in right now, God made it. Think about all that means. His grace is on this day. His mercy is on this day. The very fact that we have this day is because God has given it to us. The very fact that we are experiencing it is because God is giving us breath at this moment. You see, Psalm 118:24 reminds us that God has a purpose for our day. That when the psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord has made," it infuses meaning into a today to know that God has made the day and has a purpose for the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The God who made us made everything that's around us on this day that we have to experience. God has made this day, so let us rejoice. It infuses meaning into a day to know that God has made it. God has designs for it. God has a purpose for it. Here it is. God is working in it. We don't approach a day the way an atheist approaches a day. Think about it. Someone who doesn't believe in God or who believes there is no God approaches a day very differently because that person does not believe God made this day. This day just happened. It's a part of evolutionary chance. It's not necessarily even a part of a bigger picture that's going in a particular direction. It's just evolving. You see, everything changes in your worldview when you don't believe God made this day. And everything changes in your worldview when you do realize God made this day. You see, if we don't believe God made this day, we inherently place ourselves at the center of our existence. Our days become about our plans, our desires, and our achievements. And this leads to the pursuit of control. Because with a self-centered worldview, we strive to control every aspect of our lives, relying on our own strengths and abilities. And this can lead to idolatrous attachments to external things like possessions, status, or relationships to fill the void and give us a sense of security. By the way, we're talking about idolatry this week. When we think the day is solely ours, we cling to fleeting things, forgetting that all could be lost in an instant. This obsession with the temporary can be a form of idolatry, distancing and distracting us from the eternal. The Bible provides several examples of individuals who displayed self-centered worldviews. And a strong desire, if you will, for control, ultimately leading them from God and towards destructions and consequences. We can call on Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. after conquering Jerusalem. He proudly boasted, "Is this not the great Babylon I built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" And we know what God did, don't we? God drove him from his own kingdom, put him in the backyard. Neb lost his sanity and was forced to live like an animal, highlighting the limitations of human control and the ultimate power of God. Pharaoh, he's another one, the ruler of Egypt, repeatedly hardened his heart and refused to let the Israelites go, even after witnessing plagues and witnessing the power of God. This demonstrates his desire for control over his kingdom and his people, even when faced with divine intervention. King Herod, after hearing news of the birth of Jesus, Herod became frightened and sought to kill the newborn king. This fear stemmed from his self-centered desire to retain control of his power and authority. What about the rich fool that Jesus talked about in Luke's gospel, who focused solely on accumulating wealth and securing his future, boasting, "I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" His central focus on material possessions demonstrates a self-centered worldview devoid of dependence on God. But I hear what you're saying, Collins. I'm not that bad. You may not be King Herod or Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh or even the rich fool, but all of us have acted in ways that prioritize our own desires over God's will, even in seemingly subtle ways. I got to call it out. Seeking validation on social media, chasing likes, comments, and followers to define your self-worth instead of seeking approval from God. Prioritizing material possessions, placing an excessive focus on acquiring or maintaining possessions, allowing them to consume our thoughts and energy instead of seeking true fulfillment in God. Clinging to unhealthy relationships, holding on to relationships that are destructive or emotionally draining, fearing being alone more than seeking healthy and God-honoring connections. Procrastinating on important responsibilities, that is, delaying duties or ignoring spiritual growth opportunities because they are inconvenient or require personal sacrifice, or even letting anger or bitterness take root. That's when we hold on to negative emotions instead of forgiving others and trusting God's justice. You see, all of this connect back to what we talked about yesterday, the seduced soul, the sin of idolatry, that when we don't believe God made this day and me, myself, and I becomes the center of the day, it leads to idolatrous attachments that causes, here it is, misplaced worship. When we elevate our own desires and preferences above God's will, we create idols in our hearts. These idols can be anything that takes the place of God in our lives, whether it's material possessions, relationships, achievements, or even self-preservation. Our focus shifts from seeking God's guidance and fulfillment to chasing after our own desires, regardless of whether they align with God's plans or not. But it also leads to distorted priorities. Prioritizing personal desires over God's will disrupts the natural order of our lives. God, as our creator God and our sustainer, God desires what is ultimately best for us, even when it contradicts, here it is, our own immediate wants. By placing our desires above God's will, we distort this order and ultimately miss out on the true fulfillment and purpose God offers. But it also leads to diminished dependence. When we chase after our own desires, we tend to rely less on God for guidance, strength, and provision. This diminishes our dependence on God and weakens our connection to God. Idolatry, church, in essence, is about seeking fulfillment and security outside of God, ultimately limiting ourselves to our own resources and undermining faith in God's love and faithfulness. Now, this right here is good because when our dependence on God diminishes, we seek solutions independently of God. That is, we stop praying. And when we stop praying, we start relying on our own sense, our own logic, experience, and resources to find solutions, neglecting to seek God's guidance through prayer and devotion and meditating on his word. And we know when we start relying on our own logic, because stuff starts to get messy and start coming loose at the seams. Oh, I struggle with this, so enough bad. I have an idea. God would say, Collins, not yet. I would say, Lord, while you getting ready, I'm going to go ahead and get started. And I get started and stuff just starts falling apart. And you know why? Because of my finite perspective. I wish I had time to talk about it. You see, we have a limited perspective. We can only see the immediate picture, lacking the complete knowledge and foresight of God, who sees the bigger picture and understands the long-term consequences of our actions. I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but God knows best. God sees the bigger picture because God created the picture. And that when we act solely on our own logic, we might miss crucial pieces of information or misinterpret the situation, leading to unforeseen challenges and difficulties. Some of you are repeating the course because your dependence on God has diminished. Church, all of this is connected to idolatry. Because when we prioritize our desires, we act in deliberate rebellion against God. You see, everything changes in our worldview when we don't believe God made this day. And here it is. Everything changes in our worldview when we do realize God made this day. What changes? It brings us joy. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. It brings joy to know God's given you and me breath. God's given us grace. God has given us life. God has given us people to love. And he's given us things to enjoy as well as work to do. All of this just infuses joy and meaning into the day. Gladness. The psalmist says, let us be glad in it that we have another day to live. Let's be glad in that we have another day to live for God's glory, and we have another day to live for our good, our joy in the day that the Lord has made. I hope I'm coming through this morning. It changes our perspective. When Psalm 118:24 greets you when you get out of bed, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got, church, is right now. If you're new to the call, I want to welcome you to Grace Community Church. I'm Marcus D. Collins, and I get to lead this group of people, amazing people. And I'm so glad you decided to share in this space. But I hear you. I really do. I hear you. Collins, this perspective shift ain't easy for those struggling with hardships or a lack of joy. For them, approaching the day with the belief that God made it, Collins, can be challenging. Here's my thoughts on that. Instead of focusing solely on the joy you may not yet feel, you can approach it with openness and hope. Because, beloved, God is present even in the midst of your difficulties. And trust that God has a purpose for you, even if it ain't clear. That by opening your hearts to the possibility of finding joy within the challenges, or simply choosing to be present in the moment, you can start paving the way for a gradual shift in your perspective. Remember, church, true joy often comes not from external circumstances, but from an internal shift in focus, trusting in God's love and faithfulness, even, Lord have mercy, when life feels difficult. I think that's a good place to just start praying. So, Father, as we stand at the beginning of this new day, we come before you acknowledging your presence and power. We acknowledge that you are the creator and sustainer of all things, and that each day is a gift from you. For those who are experiencing a joy and gratitude, we thank you for the blessings that fill their lives. May they continue, Father, to see the world through a lens of love and appreciation, and may their joy be a source of strength and inspiration to others. But for those who are struggling with difficulties or a lack of joy, we pray for your comfort and guidance. Be present with them in their pain and grant them the strength to face challenges with hope and resilience. Open their hearts to the possibility of finding even a spark of joy within the present circumstances, and remind them that you are with them every step of the way. Help us all, Lord, to remember that even in the midst of challenges, you have a purpose for our lives. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Guide us, Father, in aligning our desires with your will, and grant us the wisdom and discernment to make decisions that honor you. Lord, we stand in awe of you today. We stand in awe of your immense power and creativity. We stand in awe of your wisdom and perfect timing. Help us, dear God, to approach this day with the same awe we feel in your presence. May we see the world through eyes of wonder, recognizing your fingerprints in the sunrise, the laughter of a child, and the quiet moments of reflection. Grant us the humility to surrender our plans and anxieties to you, trusting in your guidance and perfect will. May we live each moment with a grateful heart, acknowledging the gift of life and the privilege of being part of your grand creation. Lord, forgive us for the times we have allowed pride to cloud our judgment, leading us to believe we could navigate life's complexities solely on our own strength. Forgive us for the moments we have prioritized our desires over your will, creating distance between us and your love. Cleanse us from the inside out. Grant us the strength to learn from our mistakes and the courage to turn away from paths that lead us astray. May we carry the lessons learned from our mistakes forward, striving not for perfection, but just to live each day with integrity and purpose, aligning our lives with your will. Now, Lord, as we get our day started, open our eyes to the opportunities you placed before us, the seemingly small moments where we can be a beacon of hope, kindness, and compassion. Guide us to use our words and actions to bring positive change, however small it may seem. Grant us the courage to stand up for what's right, even when it feels difficult. Help us to defend the vulnerable and speak with love and truth in the face of injustice. Inspire us today. Yes, Lord, to share your love and grace with those around us, because your word declares that we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. So, Lord, we need to walk in our purpose today. We need to walk in our divine assignment today to light up somebody's dark place. Oh, Father, because we can testify that somebody did it for us. That somebody prayed for us and had us on their mind. They took the time to pray and light up our dark world. So, Father, help us and give us the courage to do likewise to others. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody ought to put an amen on that. That amen simply means I agree. I agree. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. The replay call will be on our website at gracechurchal.com/fasting. And you can go back and listen to it and share the call with someone else. Hey, listen, I'm praying for you all today. I am rooting for you. Be encouraged. Peace.